So summer is upon us. Watermelons and lemonade, mosquitoes and sunburns, flip-flops and maxi dresses. It's summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping. One of my favorite things to do in the summer is read. I mean, one of my favorite things to do in fall, winter, and spring is also reading. But there's something nice about taking a book outside with a cold drink and reading on the porch or on the beach or up a tree. Now that I'm out of school, I'm still dusting off a list of books that I never had time for but always felt I should get around to. There's a lot of books on that list. But for example, Moby Dick has been on the list for a while, so I downloaded it to my Kindle and started reading it this week. I feel like Moby Dick is one of those books that gets referenced often enough that I know it has a whale in it, but I'm under the impression that there's more to it than that. Has anyone here actually read it? Oh, cool. If I get through it, we should talk about it. So, not everyone has read Moby Dick, which, to be fair, is like 700 pages, but who here has read all of the Book of Jonah? It's only 4 chapters, and we've already gotten through half of it this morning. Jonah is another book that we definitely know has a whale in it, well, more technically, a large fish. But again, there's more to it than that. The story of Jonah isn't about the whale, and neither is Moby Dick. In tribute to my love of literature, I am very excited to share the second half of the Book of Jonah, translated by J.R.R. Tolkien, for the Jerusalem Bible in the 60s. The word of Yahweh was addressed a second time to Jonah. Up, God said. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to them as I have told you. Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, in obedience to the word of Yahweh. Now, Nineveh was a city great beyond compare. It took 3 days to cross it. Jonah went on into the city, making a day's journey. He preached in these words, "Only 40 days more, and Nineveh is going to be destroyed." And the people of Nineveh believed in God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from greatest to the least. The news reached the king of Nineveh, who rose from his throne, took off his robe, put on a sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. A proclamation was then promulgated throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his ministers as follows. Men and beasts, herds and flocks are to taste nothing. They must not eat. They must not drink water. All are to put on sackcloth and call on God with all their might. And let everyone renounce his evil behavior and the wicked things he has done. Who knows if God will not change his mind and relent? If he will not renounce his burning wrath so that we do not perish? God saw their efforts to renounce their evil behavior. And God relented and did not inflict on them the disaster which God had threatened. Jonah was very indignant at this. He fell into a rage. He prayed to Yahweh and said, "Ah, Yahweh, is not this just as I said would happen when I was still at home? That was why I went and fled to Tarshish. I knew that you were a God of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in graciousness, relenting from evil. So now, Yahweh, please take away my life, for I might as well be dead as go on living." Yahweh replied, "Are you right to be angry?" Jonah then went out of the city and sat down to the east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Then Yahweh God arranged that a castor oil plant should grow over Jonah to give shade for his head and soothe his ill humor. Jonah was delighted with the castor oil plant. But at dawn the next day, God arranged that a worm should attack the castor oil plant, and it withered. Next, when the sun rose, God arranged that there should be a scorching east wind. The sun beat down so hard on Jonah's head that he was overcome and begged for death, saying, "I might as well be dead as go on living." God said to Jonah, "Are you right to be angry about the castor oil plant?" Jonah replied, "I have every right to be angry, to the point of death." Yahweh replied, "You are only upset about a castor oil plant, which cost you no labor, which you did not make grow, which sprouted in a night and has perished in a night. And am I not to feel sorry for Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, to say nothing of all the animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Like the story of Moby Dick, the book of Jonah is fiction. It's satire. Everything about the story is exaggerated, from the ridiculous idea that Jonah could ever hide from God, to the impossible staycation inside the digestive organs of a fish, to a literally unbelievably large city, subjecting not only all human citizens, but even all animals to a fast, to Jonah's melodramatic sulking when he doesn't get his way. When we read about the other prophets of the Hebrew Bible, what is most important is the message God has given them to bring to God's people. But the book of Jonah has literally one sentence that Jonah brings to the Ninevites, and four chapters of him whining because God dared to consider the people of Nineveh to be worth caring about. The story of Jonah is a great story. It's a fun story. It's funny and adventurous. It's got a big dramatic storm and a giant fish. You can tell it with sound effects and voices and fancy handbell arrangements. But it was never about the fish. J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote the translation we've been using today, wrote, "If you look at Jonah, you'll find the whale — it is not really said to be a whale, but a big fish — is quite unimportant. The real point is that God is much more merciful than prophets, is easily moved by penitence, and won't be dictated to, even by high ecclesiastics whom he himself has appointed. The point is that God forgives people, even when we don't want them to be forgiven. The point is that sometimes God calls us to the places we'd rather not go, the places we'd risk anything to avoid. The point is that God is much more powerful than we are. The point is that the message of God's power is more powerful than we are. The point is that even the people we hate the most can repent and change their ways. The point is that God always loved them the entire time, even when we did everything we could to avoid them. The point is that God's ability to love is more powerful than an entire city's ability to sin and hurt people. The point is that God hears us. God hears us when we are calling on God's mercy to overcome our sins. God hears us when we are waiting under a shady plant to cheer on the destruction of people we don't like. God hears us when we whine like toddlers. God hears us, even over the sound of God's own laughter. The story of Jonah is a story of forgiveness and redemption. A story of seeing all people as beloved children of God. A story about obeying God's call, even when we would rather do what is easy than what is right. It's a powerful story, and it stuck with us for thousands of years. I haven't finished Moby Dick yet, but in chapter 9, Herman Melville wrote out an entire church service themed around the book of Jonah. Father Mapple preaches to a whaling community, and throughout the sermon, he refers to his congregation as shipmates. Outside, there's a storm brewing on the water, which I assume is foreshadowing the danger of the journey Ishmael is about to take with Captain Ahab. But inside the church, they are all shipmates together, riding out the storm, sailing patiently, or maybe desperately, to seek God. In addition to a full sermon that I have to say is legitimately good, published in a novel or otherwise, Herman Melville wrote an entire hymn based on Psalm 18, but adjusting some of the imagery to be a bit more focused on whales. Needless to say, I could not possibly pass up the opportunity to have us sing it. So, shipmates, please stand and sing with me.